Blog Talk Radio.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac kid, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. So please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a cat. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up.
Another episode of the Real Talk Session with Order, broadcasting live every Tuesday at 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on New Knowledge Radio. That's call in to 947-7-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. 855, press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some present to others. The host with the most, the dynamic, not I, but we, Dream Team, Greg Childs and John Drummond are here live in the building. Let's welcome them to the platform.
All right. How's everybody doing? Once again, it's the third Thursday of the month, and we are here with Real Talk with New Order. It is me, Greg Childs, but my co-host, John Drummer, and we're going to give you all the knowledge that's been going on in the last 30 days here around the world that we need to actually go ahead and discuss, try to come up with remedies for these issues, and see how we can actually solve some of them. We're going to also give you information on who we are, what we do, and how you can actually be a part of this.
Bear with us. Had a couple of technical difficulties with both of the hosts, but we're about to come back stronger than ever. Again, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Comments. I believe we got John Drummond back on the line.
Yeah, man. Do not attempt to turn away from your listening devices. As you see, you know, that can be very dangerous, you know. Do not adjust your settings. You know, this is Turn Up Tuesdays now, I see. You know, we done had Sister Kimberly Hartfield on earlier with one-on-one Real Talk. Now we have
right.
The brothers Greg Giles and myself, John Brumman. How are you, Greg? How are you, Brother Knowledge?
I'm good. I'm out here working on my tan and loving what's unfolding right here. You know, last time I checked, the creator was still in charge.
Already. Early. Yes, indeed. And, you know, like I said, it's Turn Up Tuesday. Keep your head up, like Tupac said, because that's the only way you can see this dawn that's coming, this dawn arising. I know it's so hard for a lot of us that have been on this earth for so many years to see it. And to see it happening, but I can say so myself. I see a dawn in the horizon. It's definitely coming nearer. So I'll leave it with that. Brother Greg, what do you have for us this evening, my brother?
Hey, John, how's it going, man?
Blessed. So happy to be here.
Great. Man, first of all, like I said, I want to go ahead and just let everybody know, New Order, National Human Rights Organization, is an organization, not just an organization, but a movement in which people that want to be a part of the change can actually join. Feel free to give us a call at 1-800-346-5138. That number is 1-800-346-5138. And tonight we have so much stuff that has been erupting here around the world, not just here in Georgia, not just here in Ohio, but around the world. The first thing that we definitely want to go ahead and get into is, you know, the issue dealing with the guy that actually got shot here in Atlanta at a Wendy's. The guy actually fell asleep in drive-thru. Instead of the Wendy's employees actually knocking on the guy's window, say, "Hey, sir, can you wake back up to get your order?" They call the police, and anytime they call the police, the situation is always going to be escalated. So once the police got there, they actually told the guy to actually drive into the parking lot and park into a parking spot, and then instead of letting the guy try to go home, he said he could walk to his sister's house. They had his keys. He couldn't go nowhere. He couldn't drive. But instead, they still wanted to, keep her issue. And now the guys did because of the fact that they wanted to push the issue of him locking him up, and he said he wanted to go and be home with his family. So now that young man is dead. That Wendy's that I'm talking about, the establishment got burnt down the very next day, and they have not caught a culprit on that yet. So the young man's name is Rashad Brooks, in case you guys don't know. You know, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't, you know, a situation with the police. This was definite murder. And that's one thing that I want to go ahead and find out if we have anybody that wants to actually comment on that situation. What are your thoughts, John?
Well, I mean, prayers go out to Mr. Rashad Brooks' family. Such an unfortunate and unnecessary occurrence for a man to lose his life on the circumstance that evolved. And like you said, Greg, escalated to that point. What I keep thinking over and over again is just as guilty as bad cops are the people who seem to call and manifest this situation. Because like you said, Greg, anybody that is African-American, that is a black man, a black woman, a black person, they know that once the authorities get involved, it's a whole different situation going down. Gerald is going to be on the road again next week. He's going to be in my state, Ohio. He's actually going to be in my hometown, Dayton, Ohio. And that city has its own share of tragedy and racism. It's a hotbed, you know, for drama. It used to be known. It was once a flourishing musical city. It's known as the birthplace of funk. It's now
infamous.
Oh yes. If you can think of Roger and Zapp, Heatwave, Lakeside, the Ohio Players, Slave. Bezo, I mean, just to name a few, you know what I'm saying? We've been known, you know what I'm saying? Snoop Dogg gives us many props to let, you know, it be known nationally that, yeah, we kind of birthplaced that funk genre. But unfortunately, Dayton over the years, and just as recently as last year, became infamous. I don't know if you remember nationally, it got exposure with the Oregon District, which is a district in downtown Dayton where the mass shooting occurred, where a white man, you know, shot his gun off into a club as people ran and came out and murdered quite a few people. And even a month before then, the KKK was allowed to hold a rally downtown in downtown Dayton. So Dayton has its, you know what I'm saying, dark. It has its drama. Now, what's going on with Gerald and why he'll be in Dayton is because of Mr. Lamora Mir. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, I want you to listen to this story and think of how you hear the story of Mr. George Floyd and hear the story of Rashad Brooks and tell me what is similar, and the lady in Central Park, and think of this Mr. Lamora Mir, this situation. He's a prominent international designer. This man has done clothes for movie sets, for famous people, and he comes from Dayton, and he's a well-known icon in Dayton, Ohio. Now, Mr. Lamora frequents a fabric store. It's a suburb of Dayton called Miamisburg. Now, while he was in this store, he had a situation with a cashier there. And he came back into the store a few days later to confront the cashier and just to express how he was unsatisfied with her rudeness through her service. What happened afterwards is that the police were called, and Mr. Lamora Mir was escorted out of the store and asked never to return. Now, why this is important is because Mr. Moore didn't have any violent altercation with the police department. You know, it was a peaceful situation, which he was escorted out. However, that could have been a very different situation entirely. So all we want to do is, based on the fact that the spotlight is now on, the spotlight is global. It's not just even national anymore. The spotlight is on. You know,
yes, it is.
Like I said, the white woman in Central Park who called the police on the gentleman, he wasn't anywhere near her, called the police on the gentleman, claimed that, you know, she was being assaulted and her dog was being, you know, terrified. And the same with Mr. Brooks. Like you said, Greg, the Wendy's employee calling the police on something that was a very peaceful and issue that could have been taken care of, just simply let the man sleep it off, and then he would have been on his way. He wasn't bothering anybody. And the reason why this affects me so much is because, like I said, Mr. Lamour Amir is a international desire. He's an icon. Now, that only means this. That could be, if they treat him that way in that store, that could be me, you, or any other black man. Let me describe Mr. Lamour Amir very quickly, and I'll hand it back over to you, Greg. Mr. Amir is 6'4". Yes, he is an African-American. He's also a Muslim, and he daily dons his Muslim attire when he's, you know, going about his way. So is that an intimidation? Because the suburb in which this is happening, Dayton, is predominantly white. The employees that work there, there's a very elderly, old black woman who's worked there for years. That's the only African-American they have in that store and have ever had in that store. Mr. Amir has spent thousands of dollars in that store, only to say he should have had a little more respect than the way in which they treated him, because it didn't have to turn out the way it turned out. Like I said, we have had occurrences within the last few months that show us what happens when you call on an African-American male and how it could have escalated. So I'm very upset and disturbed about how this nation, well, not the nation, but how the police department has handled these situations. And as we see, you know, we're making a turn for the better, but it has to get better a lot sooner than later.
Well, you're definitely right about that. And along with the other stuff that's going on, you know, I think that, you know, we're being targeted not only by the cops, some bad cops. We're being targeted by people, you know, of other ethnicities, such as people with the Klan that are out targeting blacks. To make a point, we recently had another shooting here in Atlanta, here in Edgewood, where five people got shot and two people got killed by a drive-by shooting. And that's not something that necessarily happens all the time here in Atlanta. But the thing most important to tell you is that we don't think that it was like it was a neighborhood thing. It wasn't a beef type of situation where people are going coming back killing. We think it was a racial situation. So, I mean, there are things going on that are out of our control that we have to be aware of. Even when we're out there protesting with the police using these rubber bullets, they're supposed to be, you know, they say safe, but these people are getting seriously injured. You know, people's whole eyes are, you know, or have been hit, and where they happen to have major surgery, people's faces have been, you know, busted open by rubber bullets. And, you know, that one guy, his whole face, his whole bone structure on his, I think it was on his left side, was broken up. I mean, these people are not just getting stunned. It's not like getting stunned with a stun gun or, you know, a shocker or something like that. These people are getting seriously hurt by something that they say it's not harmful, but it is. So, you know, if you're out there protesting and rallying, I definitely want you to be careful. But the other question that I want to ask the people is, how many people are actually out there supporting this movement?
Exactly. And I have to say, within these last few weeks, the protests and the rallies, the peaceful protests, even though I do understand when riots and protests do get unpeaceful and why they get unpeaceful. I don't promote it, but I do understand. But the one that I went to was very peaceful. And the one thing that stood out and what has stood out nationally are the generation that's after us, Greg, the young generation. These young people, I mean, they really got out there and they really, you know, showed me that they're able to take the torch and to move forward, you know, and to, I mean, what was coming out of their mouths, you know, as an activist, you know, we constantly tell these young people, you know, saying, oh, you need to do this and this is how you go about it. But, you know, none of that was needed to be said by the elders because these young people were on it, man. I mean, they were talking about local voting, you know. They were talking about political and economic power and financial literacy. I mean, these young people really were on point. The thing that I think now is we have to discuss what do we do now, because we don't want this momentum to die down. We don't want it to, you know, just be a news story that was, you know, couple days ago and now it's on to the next thing, because media will definitely do that. You know what I'm saying? This is a spun media in the nation, and that's what they do. They jump on the biggest thing. As you see, we still have a pandemic in this world. We still have the coronavirus to be concerned.
Yes,
you would think, you know, because, you know, they've opened up the beaches and, you know what I'm saying, people are out here and they're not donning masks and, you know, they're not practicing the 6 feet distances, that you think that the corona has gone. But, you know, just understand that corona ain't went nowhere. Just because you're tired of being in the house, just because you say it's warm and I want to go outside, the corona don't care about none of that. Coronavirus is still prevalent. So I plead with everybody, you know, just stay safe, y'all. I get it. I understand. You know what I'm saying? A little cabin fever, you know what I'm saying, has kicked in. But, you know, we have to be diligent, man, because, you know, I want to see everybody survive. But what I think we should do, the strongest protest we can do right now is to vote and get in those voting polls and protest inside that booth in November. Protest all you can. Those same thousands of young people I've seen out there, you know what I'm saying, so beautiful and so peacefully, protesting and rallying, let's do the same thing in those voting booths, man, because that's going to be the next phase. We have to get our political strategy in order.
Exactly. And speaking of the youth, we have a new person on our team with New Order, Campaign Sam. Sam is a college student that joined our organization about a month ago and has hit the ground running. He's reaching out to the youth, as far as like the college kids, people in their 20s and the teens, so that they can actually be a part of the movement. Because I know there's a lot of times that they want to get involved, but they don't know how. So we don't want them to actually be exercising their energy in the wrong way. We want them
to be
positive, and we want them to be, you know, on point with what they're doing, so that it won't get them in any trouble, but they still can actually make a difference. Do we have any callers that are listening right now that have a comment or want to make themselves known while we're taking a quick break to give you that acknowledgement time? Okay. If not, we'll go ahead and keep everything moving. I know that, like we were talking about, you know, the five people that got shot and two people got killed, and they have a $2,000 reward for anybody that has information leading to that those shootings. And also with the Wendy's shooting, they have a $10,000 reward for anybody have information leading up to arrest. But they have shown pictures of the young lady that actually set fire to that Wendy's, and she's not an African American. She's a white woman.
I saw that. Yes.
And so, you know, there's an agenda behind what's going on. I don't know if they're supporting the movement on a positive end or they're just trying to make the movement look bad, because we do know that they have been paying protesters to go out there and start trouble, to go ahead and putting cash in their hands. We've seen that personally live on television, that they've caught them giving cash to people to pick up bricks and throw them through windows, and to make it seem like the peaceful rally is actually, you know, an organized rally with violence. So, I mean, you know, the people that they've caught that have been burning the cars, they haven't been African-American. They have definitely been Caucasian, not to say that any black people have not started any fires, but the ones that were more prevalently, like the young lady that they caught that set fire to five police cars, she was a white woman. So, I mean, you know, like I said, now you don't know if they're working with us or they're actually just trying to make us look back. So that's one way to look at it. We definitely have to keep our eyes open when we're actually out here making these moves as far as, you know, going to these rallies and supporting. Because I know me, myself, Gerald, and also Campaign Sam went to Grieving Mothers rally downtown Atlanta, right in front of the Capitol, and that went great. Grieving Mothers is an organization where mothers have lost their sons or daughters, or either the husbands, due to illegitimate things going on with the police, or being shot and killed. We also supported the campaign rally in Conyers, Georgia, with Shali Tilson, the young man that got killed in Rockdale Jail, where he was left after he was badly beating with no food and nothing to drink, and died of dehydration after about a week, where no one checked in on him or took him to the hospital to actually get his injuries taken care of. So we were supporting the movement and these people that have been hurting. So if there's something else that's going on that you think that we might can support you on, feel free to give us a call. You know, check us out on our website, on our National Human Rights Organization site. John.
Yes, sir.
There are things going on that we want our kids to be involved in, but we don't want our kids to get hurt. So how can we teach our kids, you know, a safe way of actually protesting without getting them out there and getting them killed? And we also, you know, for the ones that have not been teaching their kids self-defense, we need to teach them self-defense, and also how to, in case emergencies come up, what to do. We need to have emergency procedures in place, just like, you know, last night. A lot of people's phones went off. A lot of people did not have contact, cannot contact anybody. We need to have an emergency procedure set in place. So if something like that does happen, what can we do to get help to us? Or how can we actually, you know, communicate with other people? So we definitely need to have these procedures in place. What other ideas or things that you think about that could actually help us, you know, protect our families in situations like this?
Well, you hit it right on the nail, Greg. It's having a procedure in place. Now, what that may look like, what that entails, you know, we got to have a meeting of minds and sit down and begin to network and to begin to understand the meaning of it takes a village once again. You know, that had got distorted for a multitude of reasons. But we need to get back to that place again, where we're sharing information and we're making sure that yours and mine, when they're away from us, they are safe. You know, there was a village-like mentality when I grew up. I couldn't do anything three blocks down the street because there were people three blocks down the street from where I lived that knew my parents. And if I did something knuckleheaded, guess what? It would get right back to them. So
there were eyes on you at all times.
eyes at all times. We live in the information age, which is a blessing. You know, George Floyd, God bless him, prayers to him, his family. Ahmaud Arbery,
Breonna Taylor, Rashard Brooks. Other than Miss Breonna Taylor, prayers go out to her family. Mr. Rashard Brooks, Ahmaun Arbery, and George Floyd, the thing that had made those situations prevalent and known to us was the video that we were able to see. And we live in social media. We live in the age of social media. We live in the age of information. Now is the time to use that to our advantage. You are right, Greg, last night, you know, saying there was a national shutdown, you know, of the major phone providers, man. I mean, there's something definitely out there. You know, I keep mum on conspiracy theory because I'm the biggest conspiracy theorist there is, and I don't want to turn this show into that. And that's not my intent. But what I'm saying is we have to be vigilant. Just as much as we feel there's something going on, we must prepare ourselves for that thing that goes on. You know, whenever a chess move, I play chess. So a chess move is whenever you make a move, you know what I'm saying, if you have a worthy opponent, they've already got a counter move waiting on whatever move you have decided to use against them. Doesn't matter how many pieces, no matter what they use, be it a pawn, a knight, a rook, a queen, if you move that piece, they go, okay, they moved that queen. So now I must counter with this piece because I saw that down the road. We have to see these situations down the road rather than react. We have to be proactive. We've always preached that in activism. You know, we've always talked about, hey, man, don't wait until something happens. You know what I'm saying? Be prepared. So we have to prepare our children. We have to teach them from an early age, from the time that they're understanding of what to look out for, time and place. You know, don't walk towards the melee. Walk away from the melee. But like I said, there's no set agenda or strategy, but there needs to be one. The only thing that I can think of, and this would be for your adult children, your 18s and up, would be go out there and make sure that you're present during local voting and national voting. Go out and vote because this is the most important time. People may feel a certain way about our POTUS right now. And I certainly feel a way, but I keep my feelings about him to myself just out of respect for the position, not the person, but the position. You know, I respect the position, but at the same time, no matter how you feel about this person, the thing that is going to affect us if he remains in office are the next generation of years that transpire for the things that he's going to make happen in office politically. You know, the positions that he affects, the Supreme Court nominations, any type of, you know, bills, all these things are going to last once he's long gone, and we'll be affected by that. So I want everybody to understand, you know, they feel a certain way about one candidate against another, and oh, I ain't voting for Biden, man, because he's just as bad. Just understand, it's not about the person, it's about the policy and the life that's going to happen. You know, once those things are enacted that they put into place, and we definitely don't want anything else coming from, you know, someone that we know doesn't have R. When I speak of R, I'm speaking of the African American community. Doesn't have our safeguard and things at heart, you know. So that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that he's voted out and we move forward from there.
Exactly. Well, I definitely like what the judge and chief, Ms. Cassandra Kirk, has done. There's been a new entrepreneurship program set up. So that there's no jail time for kids selling water, because she's letting the young kids get and making it not illegal for the kids to actually sell water locally. So I love that program, because you know, these kids could be out doing something else negative, but instead they're doing something positive, and it gives them an idea of.
No, I was just going to say, Greg, but exactly, that's why, you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason that became illegal. What's illegal about selling water to someone? What's harmful about a young person wanting to, you know, stress their entrepreneurial skills and learn about, you know, commerce at an early age rather than being out there doing the devil's workshop and being idle? I mean, you know, it's the games that they play, and like you said, kudos to the judge that you spoke of. You know, I'm not into politics. What's their name again? Kudos goes out to them because that's an excellent thing that they started.
Yeah, and also I wanted to mention that we have another situation where. A black store owner in Decatur, Alabama, got robbed.
Mm.
And when he called the police came and beat him up. So,
yeah,
I don't know if we're living in a twilight zone or what, man, but this is crazy, you know. So
you're
you
about
don't
the
even
preacher?
Know whether to call the police when something happens to you, knowing that you could very well be the victim yourself, you know, of that brutality.
The preacher was on his land, on his property. He was an African-American preacher, and these white people were driving by, and they tried to drop off a refrigerator onto his property, you know, just dumping trash onto his property. He came out to confront them. They got around him and threatened him, so he felt threatened, so he pulled out his registered handgun. So they took off. And called the police. When the police got there, well, he called the police, but when the police got there, they went to him. They accosted him. They arrested him for brandishing a firearm.
Wow.
There's something definitely wrong with that. There's something definitely
wrong
with
that.
Same as the store owner. Yeah, same as the store owner. The thing of this is, man, like I say it so much. We have to understand, man, none of this stuff is new. None of this stuff is extraordinary. This stuff is what's the word for every day? It's proverbial, man. African-Americans
mm-hmm.
deal with this senseless, nonsense, murderous type of behavior from you know, bad cops. We've dealt with this for years. It's only when it becomes media that you hear more and more and more about it. You hear about it every day. You're like, what's going on? It's an attack on black folks. It's been an attack on black folks. We just haven't seen it on video, and we haven't heard it on the news. Because the news will spin it, baby. The news will make you think, oh, my goodness, you know, civil war has broke out. Civil war has been going on.
Exactly. And people got to understand, these are not just, you know, epidemics or things that are just happening. This is an actual war on our people that have been going on. And if people can't see that, because some people just, like, you know, they're thinking, no, they're just, you know, a couple of bad apples. You know, no, there's a whole bad farm of people out here, and you know, until we actually, you know, fight back, you know, all of this evil, you know, it's going to keep happening. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially when they're not holding these police accountable for their actions, that just makes everything worse. So is there anybody out there that wants to comment or say anything during this break time that we're taking to go ahead and give you a chance to go ahead and get your voices heard? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and keep going. Now, one thing that I do have noticed too. Did you hear about all of the hangings that have been in the news lately, John?
Yes, I have. There were some occurrences in Texas, and I believe two African Americans in California. Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Yeah.
This reminds me of
the time period in Atlanta, which was the late 70s and the early 80s, which, of course, you know, I'm speaking about the Atlanta child murders. When you talked earlier about the protesters, and then all of a sudden you have the looting and the burning of the buildings, and, you know, you start to see a lot of the perpetrators, and they are not African American. They look like us, but, you know, their intent, just like the wife of the white man who she painted Black Lives Matter on her garage door to, you know, try to make someone think that, you know, African American was involved. Well, I feel the same way in these instances. It's just a feeling. But I think, okay, you know, suicide is a reality. Suicide is something that, you know, we face on this earth. But at the same time, when I talk about a perfect storm, this is a perfect storm right now. So anybody with ill intent, anybody with a cause or an agenda to want to make something look like something, they can very well use this perfect storm, this environment, to get that off. So we have to be very cautious, and we have to be very aware, and our senses have to be up about, you know, these murders and these hangings and the like, because the first thing, of course, they're going to say is, oh, well, it didn't appear to be, you know, it appeared that no one was around, or it appeared like this, or it more than likely was a suicide. Well, if you didn't see it, you don't know. So I don't want to say, you know, what I think it could be, but what I'm saying is we all should be aware. We all should be conscious of what it could be, you know, because at this point in time in America, it's very stressful, and there are a lot of things going on, and a lot of people with different backgrounds, different titles, different organizations of ill repute, you know, they have agendas. So I'll say that.
Well, I also want to mention that the young Black Lives Matter activist, Mrs. Olawotoyin Sele,
19 years old, yes.
Yeah, the 19-year-old young lady was found dead after a week. You know, this is sad to hear, man, because, you know, she, from what I see, she was definitely a fighter. And during the moments right before she came up missing, she had tweeted that she had just been sexually assaulted. So she went from being sexually assaulted to missing to dead. So this is definitely scary for, you know, having our African-American women out there protesting, supporting the cause and fighting for our rights. But then again, we also have to be mindful of to not go out there by ourselves, you know. You know, we don't want this happening to anybody else. We definitely want the people that are guilty of this, you know, to be apprehended. Because I know during that same time, they also, you know, they found a 74-year-old woman who was also a volunteer, found her dead also. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and we have to keep our minds and our eyes and everything open and not be so naive about, you know, what we see, you know, and take everything definitely at face value, because sometimes, you know, you can't believe everything you hear. You can't hear, you know, and vice versa, you know, hear everything
That's
you
right.
believe. So, but the thing with that is that, you know, there are great innocent people that are out here doing the work that are, you know, definitely, you know, getting hurt and stuff. Another thing too that I actually I noticed too is that did you see where they started passing these laws in these cities so that the police won't have sex with the people that they're arresting?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, I look at it like this, man. The FBI and the CIA have strenuous, long, prolonged psychological and testing, you know, to see the mental buildup and the
personality and all that stuff before they can even get in the FBI and the CIA. How long does it take to become a police officer? Isn't it like a month? And you don't have to have like a degree. You could come right out of high school and be a police officer. I mean, come on, man. I used to say to myself as a young man, when I was in my early 20s, I was like, what's to keep a maniac, you know, a sociopath from saying, hey, man, you know, it would be cool. You know what I'm saying? I could join the police force and I get to kill as many people as I want to. There's nothing keeping people like that from getting those positions.
Exactly. Yeah, and for them in Kansas to have to pass that law, I mean, you know that there's a lot of that going around. If they got to stop and pass
yes,
a law to stop the police from having sex with people who they arrest, or and saying just in New York, they're telling the people, you know, consensual sex is not, you know, because people are in custody. Just because they're in custody, they're already having a bad time if they got to go to jail. But now, you know, you're sexually assaulting them while they're going to jail. This is totally, you know.
But you're a civil servant. You're an authority figure. It's just like a manager at a workplace. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You know, it's not allowed or permitted for a manager to carry on or have a relationship with someone under them as far as title, below them.
Exactly.
The one that they can control on hiring or firing them. Why is that different from the police force? The police force, you know what I'm saying, that's a highly stressful situation when you're pulled over by the police or when you're in the presence of an armed civil servant. Someone has sworn to protect and serve you, and then they make advances at you sexually. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? There's talk also going on in the nation about police reform, and I know you've heard that 45 has, you know, passed, you know, this new police reform bill. Like I said, I'm not a politician. I'm not into politics and stuff like that. But I did overhear that has transferred, well, even more of the nation. You know, people, you know, kind of scratch their heads or, you know, are in wonderment when they say that, you know, Minnesota and cities like it want to disband or break up the police department. Kudos. Good for them. You know? It doesn't mean that, you know, it'll be like the purge. No, they're going to have other policemen to come in or people from other departments to come in and take those positions, but at least it'll be fresh and people that don't have that history, that don't have that type of, you can go on their background and they've worked there for 15 years and they've had all type of things on their record, you know, as far as police brutality and mishandling and disruption. No, it's time to break all that up.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and even when a lot of stuff is going on, I was sitting here looking at, you know, the cops, cops actually pepper sprayed one of their own senators before,
wow.
You know, that was trying to actually defuse the situation. He was trying to get in the middle of the situation and defuse it, and they pepper sprayed him and tried to lock him up and stuff. So, I mean, they're definitely not showing any type of favoritism. They're not, you know, even with somebody that's doing something that's as simple as, you know, trying to de-escalate a situation, these people are getting, you know, saying caught in the crossfire, you know, and there's no sympathy for these people given by some of the policemen that are, you know, that are out here. We've had our police chief stepped down in the wake of all of the stuff that's going down, and to me that just shows, you know, she wasn't ready to take all the heat that's going on here in Atlanta with the shootings and the killings and, you know, with the rioting and stuff. You know, somebody's going to have to take the heat, and she wasn't willing to take the heat. But still, you know, when you take that position, you got to be ready to take on everything that comes with it. So along with, you know, the stuff that's going on, you know, we have to be aware, you know,
well,
all the stuff that's going on.
I tell you who's ready to put the spotlight
on the heap. I tell you who's been fighting for justice for over 20 years now, and that's the New Order National Human Rights Organization, the organization in which you and I belong to, Greg. And I tell you, if not a more better time in history is now, let your voice be heard. I know oftentimes you don't feel like you have a voice out there, but you know what? There are people like us, for whatever reason. You know, I came to this organization because I was reactive rather than proactive. But you know what? Being in this organization, I learned how to be proactive. And you know what? When you call and you want justice served for an injustice done to you, when the police pull you over and you know you have not done anything wrong, or if you have done something wrong, but they take it to the level that far exceeds the wrong that you have done, where you just should have appeared in court, but they want to you know, handle it because they're bad cops or they're mishandling their position, that's when you call us. And it's not just the police. Let's not just pick on the police, because like I said, you know, a lot of these situations could have been handled if people didn't call the police in the first place. So you have racist bosses, people that, you know what I'm saying, are in position and you know, can control, you know, your employment. Brother Joe Johnson in Toledo, Ohio, who just joined New Order National Human Rights Organization. He was a CO for a Toledo institution up there. He joined our organization because, you know, he saw the need, you know, for organizations like us. You know, we're a grassroots organization. You know, we're not the big boys, but you know what? Sometimes the grassroots organizations are the ones that are more passionate, you know, and I have to say there's truth in that. You know, because we will go to the board with you. We will go all the way with you. We'll make sure if we can, if there's a case or if there are situations that we can't help you in, oh, we'll let you know. Well, that is just something that we can't do. But you know what? That's far from few, because for the most part, you know, we have cases and we have a legal team. You know, we have attorneys that are on call. You know, and we're not talking about just your average, you know, attorney. We're talking about high-profile attorneys in a few states in the United States of America. So it's simply to give us a call. And if you need our help, just call 1-800-346-5138. Once again, that's 1-800-346-5138. We have people that answer the call where our phone lines stay on 24/365, or like Brother Dolly said earlier with Kim Hartfield, 364, depending on the year, we're there. So give us a call. If you wonder who these guys are on the line on here on the program, talking about what they can do and how effective they are nationally, well, you know what? Go to our website, www.nonhro.org, and see what we're about. And if I slipped over those words, I'll kick it to you again, www.nonhro.org. If we can't help you, we'll get you the help that you need.
Definitely will. We definitely will. And then on another note, you know, one thing that also upset me, John, is that, you know, the DHS still won't take accountability for all of these kids in these detention centers getting abused. These kids, they're saying that they are not responsible for any of the kids being sexually abused that are being sexually abused in these detention camps. And now that they just released another report where they've lost track of 1,500 more kids in the system and stuff. They don't know where they are. I'm like, you can't lose those kids. Are they selling those kids? I mean, you know, they can't keep saying that they're misplacing people and kids' human lives, you know. You can't misplace that many people without some type of record of where they are. You know, there's some type of cover-up going on, and, you know, and I feel for these kids that are out there in these detention centers, because we don't know if they're getting properly fed. clothes. When I hear that, they're not even getting baths. So, I mean, you know, for those that are have bad situations at homes, they got some people out there, some kids out there that have it a lot worse. So we definitely have to keep our prayers open and up for them.
And speak out when you see injustice. I know we're speaking about, you know, these children that, you know, are held in this limbo state in that situation. But, you know, in your own communities, like Greg said, you know, we had to deal with this pandemic for these last few months. And a lot of children have been home, haven't been at school, haven't had time away from home. And, you know, their extracurricular activity has dwindled down to nothing. A lot of these children, you know, I know everybody thinks that every home has a computer, but that's not the case. And every family is not the traditional nuclear family that we wish it were. So, you know, like Greg said, our prayers go out to those children that may be struggling at home. Once again, we can get back to that village to where we keep an eye out. And that's not telling anyone to snitch or be that person or, you know, like I said, the lady up in Central Park or the person that called the police on Lamar Moore at the fashion store or anyone that just wants to jump the gun and involve something that's going to escalate into something that it'll be something else. What we're saying is love your neighbor like you love yourself. And there are a lot of people out there, especially children, that don't have go through things on a day-to-day basis and don't have anybody to speak up for them. If you can, there's a lot behind that three-letter phrase, if you can. So, you know, break it down. You're an adult. You know what's being said. If you can. If you can, you know, try to do something or try to be there for that young person, because they definitely don't have a voice.
And also, just definitely be a good steward of the situation that you're in. That have been out of work, that have not gotten stimulus checks, they're down to their last penny. So a lot of these people are now getting evicted out of their housing situations. So if you know somebody is having a hard time or you have some extra room inside of your home that you don't mind letting a friend or a family member that's down on the luck, take a place of refuge until they get back on the feet. Please do that. We got to look out for one another. You know, if we don't look out for for each other, who will? You know, this is part of us trying to regroup and rebuild and reorganize and re-strategize so that we can mobilize in a way that's going to be in our best interest. So, like I said, once again, just be aware. Don't be selfish. Don't just look at what you're going through with, because, you know, look on the outside and see what other people are dealing with. If you can help that person, please reach out and help that person. That's what we're here for.
That's right. That's right. In the hometown that I grew up in, Dayton, Ohio, a major factory, General Motors, closed down in that city. And nobody knew what that city was going to eventually look like or be like, or how economically, you know, that factory closing affected Dayton. But I tell you, if you look at it now, as opposed to when that factory was open, as to how it is now, you can see exactly how it affected that city. That city is, barely a heart beating right now. And I said that to say this, you know, like you said, Greg, just kind of look outside yourself, look beyond yourself if you can. Once again, there's that three word phrase, if you can. Look outside yourself and be there for someone, you know, that's struggling and that's hurting. You know, next month, those unemployment checks, guess what? That's going to be it. That's going to be the end of that. Everybody kicked up a big stir, you know, about, oh, man, they getting unemployment, plus they getting that extra. Oh, man. Okay, all that ends. And when their unemployment ends,
and they can't go back to their jobs, guess what? They're going to be without. So, you know, you decide if you want to live in a society where you have, you know, thousands of people without and they're needing. And, you know, when you need, you know, you're going to try to get what you can, how you can. And I'll say that to say that. So, you know, be the type of neighbor that understands and is loving and has a heart, like Greg says. You know, a lot of us, you know, may not have extra rooms. He's not talking about you. He's talking about those people that do have and are able to and can, you know, maybe provide a little shelter or a little help for those struggling. So just understand that, because if not, like I said, those unemployment situations are ending next month. And like I said, I grew up in a city where I saw the difference between fulfilling, vibrant city where everybody was getting paid at this big factory. And when the factory closed, it looked like one of those cities on TLC when they show you like what happens years after civilization and people are gone and the weeds growing up over stuff. Dayton looks just like that in some areas. So trust me, it can happen.
Okay, great. Great. Well, we've definitely had a lot of interesting topics. We've had a lot of interesting things going on today, yesterday, and we'll probably have some interesting things going on tomorrow. But we're definitely here, the Real Talk with New Order, National Human Rights Organization. We want to thank Knowledge for giving us this platform on Do the Knowledge Radio. We definitely appreciate him for opening up this door, so that other people can actually be a part of the knowledge and stuff that we have to spread and keep them informed about what's going on. And it's about time to go ahead and shut it down, John. So do we have any more closing remarks before we go ahead and close the show out for tonight?
No. I want this time to show some love back at Brother Knowledge just like you did. You know, Brother Knowledge brings the knowledge. Brother Knowledge, the knowledge he brings. Appreciate you so much, brother. And, you know, the world that I see that's beautiful is a world that has the type of format and the media provisions that you have done for our organization. And like I said, I watch you, man. I'm like a fan now, brother. So I watch your different programs, man, and I love it, man. And that's a beautiful world. It's kind of like when I first moved down to Atlanta. And I was like, it's a black Mecca for real. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you, brother. And, you know, this is the world in which we see, and we're going to make it happen, you know, definitely with brothers like you.
All right. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And we appreciate the support that we get on a day-to-day basis. As an organization, we've had about maybe 7 new members in the last 2 to 3 weeks, which is great.
Thanks in part to Mr. Greg Giles' recruiting abilities. Thank you so much, Brother Greg Giles. You know what I'm saying? You do us so, you know what I'm saying, wonderful, man. We appreciate you, my brother. Because, you know, I want to let it be known, man. It's not I, it's we, you know. And, you know, Greg, other than being an excellent advisor to Mr. Gerald E. Rose, Greg gets out there, man, and he recruits. You know, he lets people know that you can't sit at home and be a rock and do nothing and then complain about what's going on around you. Hey, if you want to be passionate and you want to do something about what's going on, join our organization. And Greg, I just wanted to let you know that I see you, brother.
Okay, great. Also want to give a shout out to our CEO and founder, Jill Rose. He's also been out there hitting the ground, getting these people to the contribute and also donate, because we've also been taking up clothes for these shelters that need it, socks, clothes, shoes.
Shout out to Coco Diva, Shauna Swearington, our vice president. She does an awesome job with the research and outreach department. bless her, because, you know, a lot, like you said, Greg, a lot of people out there, you know what I'm saying, are in need, and just shout out, because that's her department, and, you know, appreciate all that she does. Shout out to Leonard Jones Jr., the spokesman for our organization. Oh, my brother, you know what I'm saying, words cannot express the knowledge and the wisdom that you, you know what I'm saying, bless me with, even if you don't know it on a day-to-day basis. And that's not to leave anyone out. Shout out to Miss Jeanette, who so graciously has filled in for Christy Marshall, taking in the calls and doing a lot of business work for us. And shout out to Kim Lee Hartfield, who had an excellent interview early today. And everyone in New Order that does such a wonderful job day to day. It's not I, but we. So bless all of you.
Exactly. We definitely be safe out there. And once again, it's not I, but we. The Dream Team, New Order. Real talk, New Order, Greg and John, thanks to bringing the knowledge radio show. So let's do it. Everybody, have a good night.
Already, early.
Oh, yeah. Holler if you hear me. Yeah. Here we go, turn it up, let's talk. From block to block, it's at the